الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته باب الصلح إن شاء الله after we have concluded باب التفلي and الحجري we'll be looking at another chapter and this is باب الصلح. What is الصلح? الصلح simply means reconciliation. الصلح simply means reconciliation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word sulh or islah in many verses of the Quran. Likewise, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word sulh in a lot of ahadith. So when we say sulh, reconciliation, that means we have disagreeing parties involved in the matter. The sulh can be between the unbelievers and the believers. If there is war between the believers and the unbelievers, trying to reconcile, this is known as a sulh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged this, particularly when the Muslims do not have upper hand, when they are weak, they don't resort to war with the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever sulh they can do, whatever reconciliation or treaty or whatever it is called, this is done. And a kind of sulh happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we all know, and that is called the sulh al-Hudaybiyyah, the treaty of Hudaybiyyah, where the unbelievers, the kuffar of Makkah, they prevented the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from entering Makkah. And there was a kind of sitting when there was a meeting between the leaders of the kuffar and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they reached a treaty called Sulh al-Hudaybiyyah. As you said, this can also be reconciliation, sulh, between two believers who have disagreement on a theme, particularly when it has to do with wealth. Maybe they have disagreement on wealth or money, and so on and so forth. Islam encourages sulh in a situation like this as well. At times it may be between a wife and a husband. Islam encourages this as well. An example of being between a Muslim and another Muslim, maybe when it has to do with financial issue, is that happened during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. The case of a man called Abdullah ibn Adraj. This companion was indebted to another companion by name Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu. Both of them, they had serious disagreements in the masjid to the extent that it was said that irtafa'at aswatuhuma. Their voices grew louder in the masjid. So the essence that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to pull aside the curtain of his house. He was in his room when he had this agreement between these two companions in the masjid. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sulh between both of them. Now, this is an example of two Muslims having problem or having disagreement on a matter that has to do with money or wealth, and Islam encouraged them to do sulh. That of the wife is mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وإن امرأة خافت من بعلها نشوزا أو عرابا فلا جناح عليهما أن يصلحا صلحا. If a wife observes in her husband نشوزا ill conduct أو عرابا, or that the husband is turning away from her, Allah says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا, there is no sin on both of them. أَنْ يُسْلِحَا, for them to do what? سُلْحُ. أَنْ يُسْلِحَا سُلْحًا وَالسُلْحُ خَيْرُ. Allah says, for them to do reconciliation, this is better for them. وَأُحْذِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the souls, أُحْذِرَتِ الشُّحُ, is tested, or it is natural for the souls to be stingy. That is, the soul does not want to give up whatever belongs to it. But the soul wants to take, wants to have everything. But parting with what it has, the soul is always stingy with that. What you know you should get as your right, you want to get it full. But for you to part, to overlook some of your rights, Allah says, وَحْرِرَةِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحُ. Yes. The souls, it is natural that what they are stingy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تُصْلِحُ وَإِن تُحْسِنُ وَتَتَّقُ. If you do good, وَتَتَّقُ, and you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فإن الله بما تعملون كان بما تعملون خبيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what you do, is well acquainted of what you do. Now the shahid is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if a woman observes in her husband nushudan, ill conduct, or iradan, or turning away from her, Allah did not say it is her right to do this, it is, she has to get it, she has to get it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, junahum, there is no sin on both of them. And yusliha, to reconcile. And yusliha sulhan. Usulu khair. So this is with respect to what? A husband and a wife. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, within ayatihi, أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. Part of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He created for you, from your soul, from yourself, أَزْوَاجًا, wives, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا, so that you can have tranquility in them. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made mawadda, love between both of you, wa rahma, and mercy. The household or the Muslim family is supposed to be based on rahma, on mercy. It's supposed to be based on what? On mawadda, on love. So if there is no love between a man and his wife, and there is no mercy between both of them, there is no sakina, that means the main thing in marriage is not there. But what is the next thing Islam encourages? As-sulh. And that's what Allah says in that verse, وَإِنِ مُرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ عِرَابًا فَلَا جُنَحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَا, for them to do sulh. أَنْ يُصْلِحَا صُلْحًا, for them to do sulh. وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ, and sulh is what is good for them. Sulh is good for them, or is better for both of them. Instead of what? Separation. And we have in the case of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his wife, the case of Sauda. Sauda, when she grew old and she was afraid, as contained in Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, likewise Sunan Abi Dawud and many other books, when she grew old and she was afraid that what a man will see in her wife, in his wife, that she could no longer provide that for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what a man enjoys in his wife. She discovered that she could not do that anymore. She settled for what? Sulh. She was afraid that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam might divorce her. So she called for sulh herself, even before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said anything. Because she had seen herself that, oh, I could not do the necessary things. What a man will enjoy in his wife, I could no longer provide that. And she went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said to him, لا تطلقني, don't divorce me. She said to him that أنت حل, you are free من شأني, concerning my affair. That is, she was ready to what? To drop some things, some of our rights. You know, it is compulsory on a man to feed the woman, to do, to clothe her, to sleep in the house, and so on and so forth. But she was ready to sacrifice some of the things because she had seen that she could not do the necessary things. And if when somebody, uhdirat al-anfus ushur, the soul is stingy. The soul wants to get its right complete. The soul wants to get its right complete. When somebody is having a right with somebody now, and it's like the person is maltreating that person, you know the way he reacts. He wants to get his right. So when she was afraid of this, she went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, لا تطلقني, don't divorce me. He said, يومي لأعيشة, the day that you sleep in my house and give that day to Aisha radiallahu anha. But Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will still go around, because that was his practice. He will go around the house of each of his wives. Then finally, he will sleep in the house of the one that has the night. So, Sauda radiallahu anha, the day Messenger of Allah will sleep in her house, she gave it to Aisha radiallahu anha. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appreciated that. What is that? That is what? Sulhu. Aisha radiallahu anha said this verse that we read, when imra'atun khafat min baliha nushuzan, if a woman is afraid of fears in her husband, nushuzan, any ill conduct, aw iradan, or that the husband is turning away from her. Nushuzan, ill conduct, aw iradan, or that the husband is turning away from her. Maybe the husband is not getting his right food from her. So the husband now starts misbehaving somehow. So if a woman observes that, عليهما أن يصلحا صلحا والصلح خير. That is better for them. Instead of what? Breaking the marriage. Instead of what? Becoming apart. والصلح خير. وحذرت الأنفس الشح. Though الأنفس the soul, they are stingy. They don't want to give up. So for them to do sulh, this is better for them. Now the word sulh is used here in this verse. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning to the spouse that are fighting, or that are they have quarrel, though they are not in agreement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبُحَثُوا فَبُعَثُوا حَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهِ وَحَكَمًا مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. When you see them like that, instead of leaving them, raise hakam, that is a judge and an arbitrator, from his family and from our family. Allah said what? إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا. إِنْ يُرِيدَ إِصْلَاحًا. If they want islah, reconciliation, يُوَفِقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it possible for them. Because Islam encourages sulh a lot. This has to do with what? The matrimonial home. The sulh that Islam is talking about here. But if both of them, they feel that, oh, I'm not going to give up my rights. I'm not going to give up my rights. Then in that case, what will be the end? The end is what? Divorce. Instead of what? Beating one another day in, day out, disturbing the society, causing nuisance to the environment. So both of them, they can what? They can part in that case. But what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages what? Sulhu. And when you do sulhu, there should be no more complaint. Because you have what? You have compelled yourself to do that. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? Both of them, if they feel that, وَإِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَ يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. إِنْ يَتَفَرَّقَ. If they decide that they want to part, يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِنْ سَعَتِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reach both of them in sa'ati of his bounty. So if it is good for the woman to go so that she can remarry, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist her. And if it is good for the man to watch, to also remarry, but for them to cause nuisance in the society, this is not Islamic. So this is another watch, another form of sulh. Now, we mentioned sulh between two persons that are Muslims or not Muslims. We mentioned sulh between the kafir and the Muslim, as we have in the case of war. But most of the sulhu that the scholars will be talking about in the book of fiqh, when you see Kitab al-Sulh, for instance, or Bab al-Sulh, they are not really discussing about the one that has to do between, that has to do with what, a man and his wife, or that has to do with what, a kafir and a Muslim that is in the war front or so. Majorly they are talking about what has to do with what has to do with property, what has to do with wealth. There are two persons that are involved in, like the case of Abdullah ibn Adra that we mentioned, who was indebted to Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. And the other one, that is Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, was asking for his debt, that is what he was owing him. Oh, this took place in the masjid, to the extent that what? Their voice grew louder. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard of this. And he lifted his curtain and he said to Ka'b ibn Malik, he said, O Ka'b, said, Da'i shatra min Malik. O Ka'b, overlook half of the money. Overlook half of the money. And he said to Abdullah ibn Abi Adraj, he said to him, he said, Kum faqdi. Then you get up and pay the half. So what did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do here? A sulhu. Ka'b ibn Malik has left half of what? Half of his wealth. So if he had decided, my pay off, no, I'm going to take my what? My right full. Because it's my right. Then وَحْبِرَتِ الْأَنفُسُ الشُّحْ. That is natural for man. You want to get your right. When you want to get your right full, then you do a lot of what? A lot of trouble. A lot of problems if you want to get your right full. Because the person from whom you want to get your right may also be stubborn and may not be interested in giving you your right. So it becomes what? A court case, day in, day out, every week, every month, you are going to court. So instead of what? Putting yourself in this type of problem, instead of putting yourself inside this type of problem, why not do sulh? But if you want to get your right complete, you are what? You are free. So there are a lot of people that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did sulh for. That is, he did islah between them. And they listened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everything went well. But some people who insist that, no, I want to get my rights. So in a situation like this, whatever problem that one sees on the way, one should watch, should bear it. So when the scholars are talking about Kitab al-Sulh or Bab al-Sulh, it is this sulh they are referring to. Somebody is owing you, or you keep something with somebody, the person is trying to deny it, and things like that. Are you going to manage a situation like this? And Amr ibn Auf al-Muzani, radiallahu anhu, from Amr ibn Auf al-Muzani, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-sulhu jaizun bayna al-muslimin." As-sulhu jaizun bayna al-muslimin. Reconciliation is jaiz. It's permissible. Bayna al-muslimin, among the Muslims. Not only among the Muslims, it is permissible between the Muslim and non-Muslim. He said that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sulhu with the Quraysh. And the sulhu is called what? Sulhu al-Udaybiyah. In that sulhu, the Quraysh, they asked for a lot of things that ordinarily one would not accept. To the extent that Umar radiallahu anhu went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first, said, O Messenger of Allah, Alatna ala haqqin, are we not upon the truth? Messenger of Allah said, Bala. Yes, you are upon the truth. Awa laysa aduwuna ala batil, our enemy, are they not upon falsehood? Messenger of Allah responded, Bala. Yes, they are upon upon falsehood. He said, Falima nu'ti baniya fi jinina. Why are we now humiliating ourselves in our religion? What is the sulhu? The sulhu is that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions will not be allowed to do Umrah for that year. They were stopped from entering Mecca. And any person who embraces Islam from among the kuffar of Mecca that comes to Medina, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should return them, should reject them. And if any person among those who have embraced Islam before wants to come back to Kufru, they should not be stopped. And there won't be any battle, any fight between them and the belief of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a period of 10 years. So the Umrah, they will come next year to do the Umrah. This is the sulhu. Were it to be any one of us, maybe we would have done more than what Umar radiallahu anhu did. The Messenger of Allah said that this is what my Lord has asked me to do. Walastu afiya, and I will not disobey my Lord. Umar radiallahu anhu was not comfortable with this position of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he said similar thing to Abu Bakr. Why this? Abu Bakr said, this is what his Lord has told him and he's not going to disobey his Lord. When Umar did not get any support, he calmed. He calmed himself when he did not get any support. The believers, when they were asked by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to shave their head and also slaughter the sacrificial animal with which they were going to Mecca for the Umrah that they wanted to do, there was a kind of reluctance. We know the story. The idea is that what? That is sulhu for you. Sulhu has to do with what? You giving up part of your rights. If you are getting your rights full, then that is not sulhu. That is what hukmu. This is what the ruling. But sulhu, you are going to give up part of your rights for the problem or the trouble to die down. So that is what sulhu is all about. And we can see this from all the examples given. Maybe that between a man and his wife, or that between the Muslims and the kuffar. We know the right thing, for instance, Messenger of Allah also could have what attacked them. But for a reason, he did not want to attack. So this could be what happened between Ka'b ibn Malik and Abdullah ibn Adrad was what? Was sulhu, because Ka'b did not get his right complete. So this is what? This is sulhu. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what wahdiratil anfusu ash-shuh. The soul naturally wants to get the right. The soul naturally do not want to part with what they have. Want to get everything complete. That is the natural tendency of any soul. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another verse, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ So whoever is protected from the greed of his soul, here these are the muflihun. Because ordinarily, you are doing ibadah, you submit yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you forget a lot of enjoyment, things that you get for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ordinarily, souls do not like to watch, to give up things like that. Things that your soul like or love, you forgo these things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in that verse, whoever is protected from the shuh of his soul, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These are the successful people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among them. So الصلح جائز بين المسلمين. صلح is permissible between the Muslims. إلا صلحا حرم حلالا. Except a صلح that makes halal to be haram. Something that is halal, then the صلح is not making it what? Haram. أو حلا حراماً, or is making what is haram to be halal, then this type of sulh is not okay. For instance, somebody is owning you, or let's talk about the ones that are okay. We have mentioned some examples. And another example is somebody is owing you, let's say, 5,000 naira. And the person is now telling you that, okay, I acknowledge. This is called as-sulhu ala al-iqrar. Somebody who acknowledges that is owing you. Somebody who acknowledges that is owing you. Such a person now say, okay, I want you to give up some of these things. Maybe he's owing you 5,000 naira, but he accepts that what he's owing you, but he wants you to pardon him. Maybe you should take 3,000 instead of the 5,000. Is this permissible or not? Yes, this is permissible. The person is not making halal to be, or making haram to be halal yet. He acknowledges that what I'm owing you, but I want you to watch, to overlook this for me. Just accept 3,000 naira. Maybe you also contribute to that. That is, you speak to the other person that take it from him, and he decides to take it. So this is what jais in the Sharia. It is permissible. Or at times, somebody is owing you, but he has something else with him. I'm owing you, but if you take this thing from me, maybe he's owing you 40,000 naira or 50,000 naira, and he has a laptop. Okay, I don't have. I accept that I'm owing you, but if you can take my laptop instead of what, I don't have the money. And he decides to what to take it. This is the sulh that Islam is talking about. So you reach what? You reconcile. This type of sulh is a sulh ala al-iqrar. The sulh that you are doing when the person admits that is owing you. But for you to say, no, it is my money I'm going to take. Yes, it is your right to say that. No, I'm going to take my money full. It is all right to say that. But this may be prolonged, and this may drag both of you to watch, to court. So if you prefer that, no harm in the Sharia. And that's why he said what? As-sulhu ja'iz, is permissible. It is what? Mustahab at times. When you look at the fitna that may come out of what? Maintaining your stand that no, this is what? Even at times it may be wajib. Because if you do not do it, maybe eventually you are going to lose everything. And that's why some of the mashaykh, they gave fatwa to the Palestinian brothers. When the Jews, they took their land, or part of their land, and the brothers were insisting that, no, they have to return everything. But the Jews were ready then to return part of the land, not all that they have taken. So some people were not saying, no, that is nonsense. Are they going to take this? Sheikh bin Baz, rahmahullah ta'ala, then said, well, as we said, they should take the one that they've given them. It's not that we accept that what the other one belongs to them. But if they do not take this now, they will not be having anything. It's like when an armed robber comes to your house and it takes away your property. Maybe you're able to communicate with him, said, well, I can't return everything, but I'm going to return half of it. Someone now said, no, you have to return all my property. So this is with respect to somebody who is trying to watch, to cheat you. What about somebody who acknowledges that I'm owing you, but I don't have, this is what I can afford, or this thing instead. So if you like, you take it, and you bury the issue there. If you like to insist on your right, you are free. It's your right. That, okay, I'm going to take my right full. So this is known as what? As-sulhu alal iqrar. Now there's another example. Somebody is owing you, okay, we have said somebody is owing you 5,000 naira, but the person says, okay, according to our agreement, the 5,000 should be given to you, let's say next month, on so and so date. But the person says that I have some money now, can I give it to you so that what you overlook the remaining for me, I will give you now. Or can you, as a person, it's not the one requesting now, can you, the creditor, now say, give me 3,000 and forget the remaining what? 2,000. Is it permissible? Is it permissible to do that? No, you have said about the person requesting for that. But is it permissible for you to request? This is scholars who call the mas'ala of what? Dua' wa ta'ajjal. Dua' wa ta'ajjal means what? Take away some of it, wa ta'ajjal, and pay me now. The person is supposed to pay you at a later time. But you say what? Dua', take part of it away, wa ta'ajjal, and pay before the time agreed. Now, a lot of scholars, they say this is what? This is riba. Because the person who is owing you is indebted to you, maybe borrows 10,000 naira from you, and you now tell the person that da'ata ajal, pay me 8,000 naira and leave the rest. It's like the person is what, borrowing 8,000 naira, the person is borrowing. He's given his, he says you should give him, he will give you 8,000 naira, you should give him 8,000 naira and watch, he will leave 2,000 naira for you. Benefiting from what? From the time. So they say it is what? It's like riba. You know, it is not permissible for you to say what? Borrow me or lend me rather 8,000, pay 10,000 naira. Lend me 8,000 naira to pay you what? 10,000 naira. So can you say what? You are owing me 10,000 naira, but pay me 8,000 naira now. So majority of people said what? This is what? This is riba. But the muhakkikun said this is not riba. Riba has to do with what? When you are having what? Increase. Not when somebody is what? Is overlooking. Is the amount owed him. So it's not making any profit. It is rich. So it's not telling the person that what? You pay me 8,000 naira and you leave the remaining 2,000 naira. But it has to be what? Now. So this also falls under it. It's sulh. So the person hears, oh, I'm going to give you 8,000 naira now. So he looks for the money to pay you the 8,000 naira now. So this, there is nothing wrong with it, according to the stronger opinion of the scholar. Now, there is another one called As-Sulhu al-Inkar. As-Sulhu al-Inkar. Reconciliation. When the person is what? When there is inkar. Somebody does not admit that he's owing you. And you say what? He's owing you. In a situation like this, you take the affair to what? To the qadi, to the judge. The affair goes to the court. But can both of them do sulhu? Can both of them do sulhu instead of taking the case to what? The qadi. Can they do sulhu? Yes, a lot of scholars have the opinion that what? They can do sulhu. One is not admitting, one is claiming, and the other is what? It's refuting that, it's not accepting that it's owing you. Can you do sulhu between both of you? Now, it may happen that this one cannot remember that he's owing this person, or this one does not remember that this person has paid him, which means both of them are what? They are sincere. Both of them are not dubious. But the case is that they cannot remember. This one cannot remember having been paid, and this one cannot remember owing the other one. Case like this was taken to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning those who had dispute concerning inheritance. One was claiming, the other was also claiming. So, and Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to both of them, you are claiming this, where is your bayina? Where is your evidence? Where is your evidence? Both of them could not produce what? Evidence for their claim. So, then who is going to watch? To swear? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Al-bayinatu ala al-mudda'i, the one who is laying claim to anything should bring what? Al-bayina. If I say what? This is my car. I have to bring evidence that what? This is my car. This is my car. I have to bring the evidence. This is my house. I have to bring the evidence. So al-bayinatu ala al-mudda'i wal-yaminu ala al-mudda'a alayhi. So the one who is not accepting that, that he is the one who is rejecting that, who is denying that, should bring what? Should do al-yamin. He should swear that wallahi, he has no right on me. Wallahi, this is not. So with that, he has freed himself. Because the one who has laid claim to anything cannot bring what? The evidence. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he asked both of them to bring evidence, they couldn't bring evidence. So the next thing is for them to what? To swear. And most of them started what? Crying. So one said what? Well, I've given up my rights to him. The other one said what? I've given up my rights. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, okay, both of you go and sit down and what? Agree on what you are going to do with this thing. Because both of them were afraid. What could be the consequence of what they are swearing? Maybe they've forgotten. Maybe they could not remember what actually transpired. So if you not swear on what you cannot recollect, this may affect you. So two people, they may be involved in a dispute, and both of them are sincere, but they are laying claim. One is laying claim to the other, to a thing, and the other is saying what is saying is not so. So we have the alleger and the one who is what? Alleged of something. Can they do sulhu? Yes, it is permissible for them to do sulhu. One of them may say, okay, you said so and so. I do not accept that what this thing is on me. So let us do sulhu. You said how much? You said 20,000 naira. Please, can you bring it down to 10,000 naira? And they agree. So in that case, there is what? There is sulhu. There is sulhu. So it is permissible to do that. Now, it may be the mudda'i that is bringing this, that is the one who is alleging somebody, and maybe the mudda'i alleged that is bringing this. But if one of them is dubious, maybe the mudda'i is dubious or the mudda'i alleged is dubious. The mudda'i knows that this person doesn't owe him anything, but he knows him to be somebody who does not want to involve himself in what? In court case with people. Does not want to appear before the judge. He now fabricates a lie to lay claim to something. He knows that if he wants to drag that person to court, the person does not want to go to court. It's okay. If you have claimed this, let us what? Do sulh. So as he has known that person to be what? To be somebody who does not want to involve in court case. It's not seizing that opportunity to lay claim. And the other person is saying, no, I'm not owing you anything. This is not correct. But the mudda'i, the one who is laying claim, knows that if he insists that person watch, will say, okay, let us do sulhu. Is that sulhu permissible? Yes, it is permissible as well. But the mudda'i is sinful in this case. It is permissible for them to do it outside, that is, apparently. But before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is a person who is eating another person with what? With injustice. And Allah said what? وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Do not devour your wealth among yourselves بِالْبَاطِلِ, with batil. But this one has decided that what is going to eat with batil. So what is not his claim or his right is claiming it, because he knows that the one who is involved is going to call for sulh. He can't bring evidence. When they get to court or they get to the judge, they say, well, where's your evidence? They say, I don't have evidence. What is owing me? Why has he done that? Because he knows that person who is involved in order to go to court. Because some people, they see what? Being before a judge as something of what? Embarrassment. Something that will stain their honor. So they prefer to just make everything die. Then at times, if you the mudda'i alleged, the one who is accused or the one who is alleged, that is sinful. He knows that he's owing somebody, that somebody's right with him, but he knows that the person whose right is with him, if he insists that he's not owing me anything, that person doesn't make trouble. He will not take it to what? To the judge. Where is the document of the car that has given to you or that has kept with you? He never gave me any document. And he insisted But the person who has given that, given him the document to keep for him, is not somebody who wants to make trouble. But I gave you, said, no, there's nothing like that. He insisted. So that person says, okay, let us do so. Then in a situation like this, the mudda alayhi, the one who is alleged, says, okay, let us do so. Because he knows the document is with him. The sulh is what? It's jaiz, apparently. But before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person is what? It's sinful. How this is clear. Now, scholars will bring a kind of thing. Maybe the mudda'i, the one who is claiming and who is what truthful in his claim. Nothing but, I have this thing with you now. If he insists, no, you don't have it with me. Okay, let us do sulh. I'm going to forgo half of it. He now says, okay, if you are going to forgo half of it, then I now admit that I'm owing. Is it permissible for that person to now pick up the matter again now? He has confessed. That is what? Is that sulh binding on him? Huh? The sulh is not binding on him. Because ordinarily, the man is what? The man is wrong. Only that he wants to eat up his what? His wealth. And this one has used a trick to get back his what? His wealth. So there is nothing wrong with this. There is nothing wrong in this. But if the man does not do any trick and he engages in the sulh with him, it is the one who has taken that thing that does not belong to him that is sinful. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man iqtata'tu lahu bihaqqi aw qadaytu lahu bihaqqi akhi," whoever I judge in his favor, given him the right of his brother, "fa'innama iqtata'tu lahu qita'ata min an-nar," I've given him a brand of fire. So he shouldn't feel that what maybe he will go scot-free when he does that. When the judge in this world says he is what? He is right. That doesn't mean what? The ahkamul hakimin will not rejudge the matter. And this is what should be the stand of a believer. Anything you are doing, we should be straightforward. When you are doing business, you should be straightforward in your business. When you are talking to people, you should be all straightforward in whatever you say. But for us to be looking for a way to eat other people's wealth, this is what ahram. This is haram. We have read a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. So that we should not eat people's wealth. We have read verses of the Quran talking about this. But somebody who has a new excuse, maybe he's indebted, he can't pay the debt, and he wants to do sulhu with us, maybe by paying less, or he wants to give us something else in replacement of the amount that he's owing us, or something like this. All this is what jaizun is permissible. So we are encouraged to accept that, but if you insist that you are not going to accept it, we don't want to take it. It is not compulsory on us to do that. إِلَّا صُلْحًا حَرَّمَ حَلَالًا أَوْ حَلَّ حَرَامًا. Somebody who now say, for instance, okay, I'm going to give you a part of it, but on condition that I sleep with your wife. You say what? This is what? Zina. This is haram. So any sulh that you want to do that calls for what? Making what is haram to be halal, or making what is halal to be haram, then in that case, that type of sulh is not acceptable in Islam. والمسلمون على شروطهم, the believers, they are also to respect their shurut, the conditions that they agree upon with people. When you agree with somebody on a thing, you do what? You keep on to the condition. إِلَّا شَرْطٌ حَرَّمَ حَلَالًا أَوْ أَحَلَّ حَرَامًا. Except a condition that makes what is halal to be haram, or what is haram to be halal. Take for instance the case of Barira, when Amasa, he wanted to sell her. But he said the condition to sell her is that when she dies, they will be the one to inherit her. Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to buy Barira radiallahu anhuma. But this condition that if Barira dies, the wealth will belong to, that is the bequest, will belong to the seller. She was not comfortable with that. And she asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ishtariha, buy her. Washtariti al-wala. Then also watch the condition of al-wala, that they will take that. Why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Aisha radiallahu anha to take that? Because he wanted to refute that. So after that, he mounted the minbar. After Aisha radiallahu anha had bought that, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma balu aqwamin yashtarituna shurutan laysat fi kitabillah." What's wrong with the people that they will be stipulating conditions that are not in agreement with the Book of Allah? Kullu shartin laysa fi kitabillah fa huwa batil walau kana mi'ata shart. Any condition that is not in agreement with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is batil. Walau kana mi'ata shart. Even if it is 100 conditions. So the shy idea is that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them that al-wala'u liman a'taqa, the one who set free a slave will be the one to watch to inherit him or her after her death. If she doesn't, or he doesn't have those to inherit her. So those who will inherit her will be the one who set him or her free. So these the scholars use as an example of the shartu that is against the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are so many shurut that will be against the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A woman that somebody wants to get married to, and she says, for instance, "Well, if you marry me, your first wife, you have to divorce her." This is what? Shartun laysa fi kitabillah. A condition that is not in agreement with the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La tas'alil mar'atu talaqa ukhtiha li takfiya ma fi suhfatiha." So a woman should not ask that a sister be divorced, that is a sister in Islam be divorced, because she wanted to turn upside down or pour away sahfataha, that is her own place. She wants to occupy that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who gives. So it's not compulsory for you to be in a place. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bounty, but for you to say, "Okay, I want to be with my husband also, the one that I've met home, so that one is going to go." There are women who are stipulating that "I love you, but you know the problem is that I don't like being in polygamous family, so divorce your first wife." And the man who is also who is so much interested in that lady, will now go and divorce the the first wife, based on the recommendation of the new one that he was to marry. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a woman shouldn't do that. So this type of condition is what laysa fi kitabillah. But if a woman, before marrying a man, the man is not married to any wife before, there is no any wife under him now, and he proposes to a woman or a lady, and the lady says, okay, I want to be the only woman in your house, so I don't want you to marry another person after me. Is this condition permissible? No? It's not permissible. Why? Laysa fi kitabillah. How? How? It's permissible. How? It doesn't? She doesn't? There is nothing that makes it haram. Now, scholars disagree on this. Some of the opinions that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what? Thank you, ma tabalakum min al-nisa'i masna wa thulatha wa ruba. Then someone is not telling you that what? No. It is only wahida. So it's like what? She is what? Against the verse of the Quran. So this is what? The series is shartun laysa fi kitabillah. Because what we have in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Masna wa thulatha wa ruba. And the lady says what? I want to be alone with you. However, some scholars said no. What this means is that what I understand that Allah has given you the permission to marry two wives, three, four, but it is not compulsory on you to marry two wives, three wives, four wives. It is what? Permissible. So, but I want you to leave this thing that is permissible for you so that what both of us can be together. I'm not saying it is haram, but I would like to be with you. So this is the position of Sheikh Muhammad Al-Amin Shintiti, the author of the book Adwa al-Bayan. He said this is what permissible, because she has not made it haram. But this is what I would prefer. Something is permissible, just as well it is not compulsory to marry two wives, it's not compulsory to marry three wives, four wives. So if you marry one, it's not a sin. So I prefer that what you take one. So they said what? This is what? Shartun la yuharrimu halalan. It doesn't pronounce as haram what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made permissible. Wallahu alam. But the Shia is a scholar, they disagree on this. But they have consensus on what? A woman who is what? Under a man who has a wife, and the woman that he wants to get married to, that woman is now stipulating that the first wife should go. No, this, even the hadith is against this. But if the man is not married before, or there is no any woman with under him now, some scholars of the opinion that this is what permissible. Because this is what giving up is right. And when we say so, husulu is what? Giving up your right. Huh? Something that is your right. If we look at all that you've been saying, you see that you are giving up your right. Somebody is owing you. You ask, the person is requesting that maybe you leave part of it for him. This is so, you are giving up your right. So your right is to take your money full. So your right is to marry two wives, three wives. So if you now request, I don't want you to marry two wives, and you accept that, but it's not binding to what? To accept it. It's not binding to, which means what? The woman is also free not to marry you. Now, if one now marries, you agree to that condition that, okay, I'm not going to marry another person. You now, after marrying, you now marry another person. Have you done something wrong? Huh? Now this will be based on what? The disagreement of the scholars. Scholars who believe that what? It is what? it is something that is permissible. And since Tabot decided to give up the right, so there is no need what violating it. Al Muslimuna in the shurutim illa sharton halala haraman or harama halalan. So you have given up your right. But those scholars who believe that it is not permissible originally, for a woman to stipulate that type of thing. So if the man, maybe out of love, now falls for that condition, after that he now remembers, am I crazy? So he now takes a second wife. So they will say he has not done something wrong, because that condition that both of them agreed upon is not in the book of Allah subhanahu. Kullu shartin laysa fi kitabillah fa huwa batilun walau kana mi'ata shart. Just as Aisha radhiallahu anha said, okay, al-wala will be for you. But after that, Messenger of Allah addressed and turned the wala to Aisha radhiallahu anha, because al-wala liman a'ataq. So he nullified that condition. So the same thing they said here. Wallahu a'lam. But the sulhu is what given up your right. And that's why a Muslim lady should not be so much interested in being with her husband. So the extent of now saying this thing is what is haram. This will be kufr. Some women, they make up laws so that what their husband will not take a second wife. Even some do not mind committing kufr because of this. I've had a case of a woman that says if her husband takes a second wife, that she's going to commit a kufr. So scare your husband. So that the husband will say, committing kufr because of this. If it is what, my taking a second wife, that will make you commit shirk or kufr. I won't do that because I don't want you to commit what? Kufr. So the blunt truth is that she will not commit kufr unless if she's not sincere in her Islam. She's just doing this as what? As a threat. Because she knew that her husband loved her. That the husband will not want her to commit kufr. So let me threaten him with this. So why could a woman say that she's going to commit kufr because of what the husband is going to take the second wife? Who tells you that you'll be with the husband forever? So, and that's why, as Muslims, we should have what? Open mind. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has what? Made this halal, we take it to the halal. Find what uhdirat al-anfus shurh. The souls are stingy, naturally. We want things to belong to us only. This is what is natural, it's for everybody. There is nobody that is not stingy. But the issue is when you can show anasi for laika, that is the most important thing. If, for example, you want to be with your husband alone, that doesn't mean what? You should not go to the extent of saying what? The husband is not going to take a second wife. And if he does that, you are going to kill yourself, you are going to do this, you are going to. This is not a statement of a believing woman. This is not a statement of a believing woman. But, as you said, is it permissible for a woman to say, okay, I don't want you to marry somebody on me? Permissible, according to what? Some scholars. Not permissible, according to some scholars. And both of them, they have what? Evidences for what they have said. But, it is better a woman doesn't bring that type of what? That type of condition. Why? Because she cannot even guarantee that she's going to satisfy the man in all that is needed. So that the man can overlook some things, some shortcomings in her as well. But if you want to be everything in the man's life, you want to be with him only, the man is in need of so and so. You can't do it. Maybe based on your age and so on and so forth. And you have prevented this man from taking a second wife based on that condition. Which means you are pushing this man towards what? Towards taking a second wife and not making you aware of it. And which will be more disastrous when you get to know. Some women have run mad because of this. They have mental problems when they get to know that what? The husband is married to another woman. Or this may lead the man to say, okay, what I need in a woman, I can't see it, so I'm divorcing you. And with that, the woman will be paving way for the man to marry a woman without what? Conditions. That will not give her, give him rather this type of what? This type of condition. And that's where we should study the Quran very well. The verse that I read, or and some other verses like that, if you follow these verses and we implement them, a lot of polar cases that we have today, they will be avoided. A lot of them will be avoided. Why? Because nobody is ready to do what? To do compromise. No sulh. The woman not ready to do sulh. And Allah said what? وَإِنِ مُرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِرَادًا. If a woman is afraid that the husband is having a kind of ill conduct, أَوْ إِرَادًا, or turning away from her, in one of the ahadith, Aisha radiallahu anha said, maybe the woman has what? She has a children with the man, maybe because of the life that they've used, they've entered into one another. So she does not want to go to somewhere else. And she knows that what? Maybe she's not fulfilling the needs of this man. So what's the next thing to do? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what? فَلَا جُنَا عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُسْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا وَصُلْهُ خَيْرٌ. So if a woman is not ready to do sulh, or a man is not ready to do sulh, because at times it may be from the part of the man. Because Allah said what? وَلَّا تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ. At times you see what? Ill conduct in the woman. The women that you see ill conduct in them, فَعِذُهُنَّ, you admonish them. وَحْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. If this lecture or admonition does not benefit them, try this method, وَحْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ. You boycott them, not having sexual intercourse with them. If this does not what? Benefit, وَضْرِبُهُنَّ, you beat them. But the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the type of beating. He said what? Dorban غَيْرَ مُبَارِسٍ. It's not beating that will leave bruises on their body. Allah ended that verse, فَإِنْ أَطَعْنَاكُمْ فَلَا تَبُغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. Now, a woman that is, you see ill conduct in her, but after she has what? Corrected herself. فَلَا تَبُغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. Don't look for other ways to find fault in her again. What you need, she has satisfied you. So what other fault? فَلَا تَبُغُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ سَبِيلًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيًّا كَبِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is Ali, is ever most high. When you feel your eye, you have what? You have the qiwama, rijal qawwamuna ala nisa. You should know that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Aliyun, Allah is kabir. So if you maltreat the woman after she has done all the necessary things, all your wants, you are now maltreating her, then in that case, you should remember that Allah is also Aliyun, kabir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us know. But a man, for instance, maybe the woman has had a lot of children for him, and considering some other things, I don't want to chase her away, I don't want to divorce her. Let us do sulhu, let me compromise some things. This is what was sulhu khair. This is good as well. But as we said, it's not compulsory. Allah has not made it what compulsory. Nor as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it what compulsory. And that's why you see cases of women who go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I'm not interested in so and so person anymore. The Messenger of Allah asks, are you ready to watch? To do this? We know the case of Jamila. We know the case of Barira. Who, when she became what? Free. She was not interested in being under a slave anymore. That is Mughif. The Messenger of Allah did not force her to be under him. admonition. And she asked, when the Messenger of Allah admonished her, are you trying to, is this the religious ruling or is what? Intercession. The Messenger of Allah said, it is intercession. The woman said, what? I'm not interested in him anymore. The Messenger of Allah did not force her. And this is the way we should look at this matter. Any person who is trying to look at it in a different way, such a person is just trying to watch, to present to us what does not exist in Islam and what does not exist naturally. What does not exist naturally? Because human beings will have different ways of doing things. So when you force two people on one another, that's all you have to, you are deceiving yourself. Allah, their creator, said, in yatafarraqa yughnillah kulla min sa'ati. If they decide to separate, after Allah has encouraged what? Sulhu. But if both of them are not ready to compromise, in yatafarraqa yughnillah kulla min sa'ati, Allah will enrich every one of them min sa'ati, from his bounty. A new watch, a new this before watch, a new all this attempt that people will make. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this could be the watch, the last option. And that's why we have to read all these verses and what you have understanding of the deen. Not what the West is trying to impose on us, or what some people who are calling themselves scholars of Islam are trying to impose on people. Somebody may say, okay, but I think that lady has understanding of the deen. Why is he now leaving her husband? We don't know our case. I think that man has understand. Why is he not divorcing his wife? That is not. Are you living with them? So you are not living with them. So all you can do is for you to make effort to do sulh. But if it doesn't work, any attempt to force them together is what? You are trying to cause what? Problem in the society. So generally, sulh is encouraged in Islam. Whether sulh between a man and his wife, sulh between two persons who have what? Dispute concerning property, sulh between a government and a Muslim government and a kafir government, sulh between even the government, the Muslim government and the rebels. All this exists in Islam. Ali radiallahu anhu did sulh with the Khawarij. He invited them for debate. Because killing, shedding blood is not what. So what do you have? And that's why in Saudi Arabia, those who are what, who are destroying, bombing people, the government, when a lot of them were arrested, the government now sent some scholars to debate with them. Listen to their evidences and debunk the argument. And this was when a lot of them, they changed for better. But if you are ready for problem all time, that no, Tobak Balafu, if you are going to destroy everything, this will not benefit. And this is not the way of Islam. And that's why those who are committing suicide bombings, they do not have understanding of what? Of the deen. If they have understanding of the deen, they will know that this that they are doing has not what? Has not benefited Islam. Rather, he has what? He has destroyed a lot of things. And that's why the word sulhu is very, very important. We have to look at it and iron things out. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his path. And may subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding of the deen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Now, any questions? No. Now that hadith mawdu', they base it on hadith that is mawdu'. That is, after the salah, reciting some azkar, then now rubbing it, spitting on your finger, rubbing it on the eye, so that one who does that, the eye will not go blind. So this is hadith mawdu', and it's common with the tabligh brothers. So there are those who do. So people who are not tabligh who are doing it, a lot of us, they are doing it based on what is seen from them. All these are bidya. Now, Nam hadiyya and sadaqa, the difference between hadiyya and sadaqa. Hadiyya is gift. Sadaqa is gift to somebody with the intention of what? Getting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say hadiyya, so you are not necessarily expecting any reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the person that you have given, you are doing that so that what love will be strengthened and established between both of you. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tahadaw, exchange gift, tahabu, and watch, you love one another. And when two Muslims love one another, this eventually will lead to what? Something of reward. It becomes something of ibadah. But gift, that is hadiyya ordinarily, is not something that you do because you want to get reward from Allah's street. Unlike sadaqah. When you give sadaqah, you are expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why some scholars are of the opinion that sadaqah is not given to a worthy man, because he has. But what you give to somebody who is in need of it. Then adiyya is not even given to a worthy man or somebody who is what in the high post when you give him hadiyya. So the person in not think he's trying to reciprocate it with you. He knows that when you give him gift, you are trying to watch, you are trying to get something from him. So those who give the governors and the like, they give them gift, his contract they are looking for. So but gift between those who are equal, this is what is understandable. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will accept gift and he will reciprocate it. So that's what somebody will not have what, will not have any minna on him that has given him so and so. No. You have given him and he has given you back. So there is nothing like what I've given him so and so. So but wallahu alam, a worthy person can also be given what? Sadaqah. A worthy person can be given, not zakah, sadaqah. But ordinarily, it's not something that we say is encouraged. So give to those who are in need of what you want to give out and expect reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu alam. No. When you recite the ayin, it's reciting aloud. You should be reciting inwardly. Yes, with the movement of the lips. Because when you do not move your lips, that is not qira'ah. That is what? That is tadabbur. You are meditating. But when we say qira'ah, qira'ah in the Arabic language means what? The movement of the limbs. With what? With pronouncing inwardly or outwardly the letters. So that is what? The qira'ah. Now the Imam is reciting aloud. Should you start your own fatiha immediately you make your takbir, or you should wait till the Imam finishes his And these scholars, they disagree upon. When I say scholars disagree upon, I mean those who believe it is compulsory on you to recite Surah Al-Fatiha behind the Imam when the Imam is reciting aloud. You know, majority of the scholars, they have the opinion that when the Imam is reciting aloud, you recite what? Silently. But those who believe that when the Imam is reciting aloud, you should also recite. Some of the opinions that as the Imam is reciting, you also recite. You have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha with him. So to the extent that when the Imam is saying Ami, that doesn't stop your own recitation. You can continue. But some of the opinions that you can allow the Imam to finish his recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha, then when he's reciting Surah, you seize that opportunity to recite your own Fatiha silently. So all this, the scholars who are of this opinion, they say. So, wallahu alam, the advice is that if the Imam is almost finishing the Fatiha, we should allow him to finish, then we recite. But if the Imam is starting the Fatiha, and you are also starting with him, if he recites a verse, you recite a verse like that. So by the time he's saying Ami, you also got be saying Ami. This, wallahu alam, I think is the best position on it, wallahu alam. Well, in a situation like this, that maybe somebody is indebted to a person, and that person is not willing to pay, and if somebody wants to assist him in collecting it, if that person is going to take that as what a job, this is something that is not encouraged, unless if he's going to incur some things in the process of trying to collect that in, maybe forcefully from that person. But if not, it's not something that is encouraged. Because whoever is capable of assisting his brother should assist him. So this should not be something that you'll be making money out of. So Allahu A'lam. But if maybe it's not that the person does not want to pay, or the person does not want to pay, but company A or company the third company now will not pay that with their own money, then later they take it from company A, and this is what? This is riba. So what they've done is they've loaned company B, they've loaned company B that money. So now getting more than the money they give to company B, this is what? Clear riba. But if they are not going to pay the person just to make efforts to collect the money from the person, the company B, then in that case, it is not something that is good to do. If they can assist, they assist, not by what imposing any money on them. Wallahu alam. But it is good to avoid things like this. It is good to avoid things like this. The Arabs, they practice it, but at times it will lead to distortion, serious distortion of the names. Take for instance, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at times might want to call Aisha, and you say, "Dear Aish." Ya Aishu, with Dumma, not Ya Aisha. You know, Aisha too, there is Tam or Buto. So, but instead of saying what, Ya Aisha too, he will say what, Ya Aishu. So, this is permissible. But if it's going to lead to what, distorting that person's name, then this is not accepted. And that's why Sheikh Abu Musnad al-Abbad, Hafidhahullah ta'ala, was asked similar question. That people were shorting the name somehow. So, and he said something similar to this, but gave permissibility to the ones that maybe did not involve discussion. Like Al-Abbad, for instance, now is from what? From Abdullah. To change Abdullah to Al-Abbad. Abdu means what? Servant of Al-Abbad is like Ismu Mubalaga, so to say. So they change it to that. So that is what? Changing. So when you say Latif, for instance, Abdul Latif to Latif, that is not work. This is not okay. Because you have not even done the cutting of the breaking of the letters in a good way. Like when the Messenger of Allah said, what? Aisha too, there is no what? Serious difference in the. So when you say Aisha, it's like you are calling a male. So Aisha too, female. So when you say Aisha, it has not distorted. But when you say Lati, what is Lati? You are dropping far. So why should you drop far? So far is part and parcel of what? Of Lutfu. So this is not what? This is not permissible. But when you say Al-Abbad, for instance, now, or you say Abdu, when you say Abdu, dropping what? Allah. There is nothing wrong with this. And that's why Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, Messenger of Allah will call him, when, at times when he wants to call him, he will call him Ibn Ummi Abd. Ibn Ummi Abd. Ibn Ummi Abd means what? The son of the mother of Abd. Who is the mother of Abd? That is Ibn Mas'ud's mother. So Ummu Abdullah, the mother of Abdullah. So let's say for letter of saying what? Yabna Mas'ud, he will say what? Yabna Ummi Abd. So shortening Abdullah to what? Abd. And instead of saying what? Ya Abd, he will first of all call his mother's name by saying what? Ummu Abd. So if it is shortening like this, there's nothing wrong with this. But the one that would distort the meaning of the word itself, so this is not permissible. So this may mean maybe doing ilhad in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it is Allah's name, wallahu a'lam. Now, last question, inshallah. There is no contradiction, so there is no need for reconciliation. The issue is that as you've been saying it, people shouldn't steal. How many people listen to you? People shouldn't fornicate. How many Muslims listen to you? So people are still stealing, they are fornicating, they are taking intoxicants. So when you say people should not join this thing, now if some people will join, so those people will be the scapegoats. Huh? So the, and whatever benefit you want to get from them, you get from them. Unless if you see evidence. If you are allowed to get benefit from a kafir, that is somebody is trying to watch, maltreat you and you seek assistance of a kafir, then why can't you seek assistance of somebody who has not gone out of the fold of Islam? Though he's doing something that is what? That is wrong. So you're seeking assistance from him should not be used as evidence, but you have said we should not join this group. Now you are coming to us. No, not only you, even people are going to watch. Say a kafir. Now it is wrong to do what? Tahakumu, to take your case to watch, to the kufru law. But when you know you are right, and in the kufru law, what is right, they are going to give you your right there. You can go there. When there is no any Muslim place that you can get your rights, except they are going to this kufru. But in this kufru law, that some that are called kufru, so they are going to give you the exact right that Islam has given you in that place. So there is nothing wrong in going to that place. All this is clear. So The issue is clear. It's clear. So a Muslim is working in a bank and you want to put your money in the bank because you can't keep your money in the house. That doesn't mean that what we should have a Muslim bankers. As somebody once told me, is one of the influential people, so to say, in this country. He said somebody was arguing that you have to have Muslim bankers, you have to have Muslim this, and so on and so, so and so. People are not trying to counter him. He said, he now said to that person that was saying that okay, you say you want to save the Muslims because the Muslims, they are suffering, they are dangerous to rescue the Muslims. He said, he now asked this man, if you know that you are going to die next month, are you going to put your effort in this thing that is still doing the same thing? As the man said, A'udhu billah. Next month, I won't do that too. I'll go away from it. Said, what tells you that you are going to live for an hour? So what is justification that are bringing that just to have experience, you know, with the Muslims? Is because you believe you are still going to live. When you know you are going to die, you watch, you face Islam squarely. So which means that what you are fighting for is not something to be fought for. It's not something that you really believe in. It's because you want to eat. That's what you are saying. And that's why a lot of them, let us have Muslim whatever. When they get here, they become what? Different things. Their opposition to Islam will be worse than the opposition of some of the kuffar. So let us leave it. You say what Allah says, what the Messenger of Allah says, and leave what people will do. So some people will eat, some people will not. But if the people, they were all eating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, then this world will be okay. That is, if everybody is upon the right path. So when you have police, you have what? Good police. When you have lawyers, you have what? Good lawyers. When you have bankers, you have what? Good bankers. So they won't be evil. But because people are running away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are running away from the path of Allah, doesn't mean we should not be justifying what they are doing. Now looking for Muslims who also join them in that evil way. No. We should not be looking for Muslims who will join them in that way. But there will be Muslims who will join them in that way. You leave that. So whatever benefit you feel you can get there, those Muslims who have joined them in that will still what? Will provide it. And if they will not provide it, even kuffar will provide it. Huh? So a lot of benefits now that you have gotten from laptop and the likes, and you read Quran from the phone. A lot of us now, we are closer to the Quran than before. With the assistance of the kuffar or the Muslims. The kuffar. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist us. Subhanaka la umma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Now next